We're going to switch gears now, and we're going to talk about increasing the supply of our restaurant visits and our fun times going out in the Park City restaurant world, and also doing it affordably. In studio with us now is Ginger Reese. She is the executive director of the Park City Restaurant Association. We also have Michael Goodrich, who's the front house manager at Red Rock Brewery out at Kimball Junction. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So I've been patiently waiting, like literally 3 months ago, I put it on my calendar that October 1st, this dineabout starts. Many people in Park City may not be as big of a fan or may not be waiting as patiently for it, but they should be. Tell us what dineabout is here in Park City.
So dineabout came about, this is our 6th year hosting it, and it came about as a way to showcase all the different culinary options that we have in Park City at amazing prices. It's a great time to be in Park City. The colors are in full bloom. The town's not quite as crazy busy. There's some great lodging deals out there. So it's a great time to be in Park City, and why not complement with it our amazing food?
And Michael, you're here with Red Rock Brewery. Why is Red Rock involved, and what kind of special offers do you have?
Red Rock's been involved almost every year, I believe. We like it because it gives people a chance to come in and try some of our entrees that they might not typically try due to cost. The benefits of this is we can do like a 2-course lunch meal for $15, or we could do a 3-course dinner meal for $20, all at a reduction in price off the menu. We like it because it can essentially bring us new clients that if they come in and then try this, they might be coming back, try something else, different things like that. The locals, if you haven't tried it before, I would highly recommend it. The dineabout is definitely worth the money.
So 3-course meal, I'm guessing soup, salad, then entree, then a dessert?
Correct.
Could you have salad, soup, entree, skip the dessert?
Yes, that is actually the lunch, I believe, the lunch option for $15.
Nice. Yeah. So is this traditionally for Red Rock? Do you kind of exhale a little bit at this time of year and you think, you know, it's a little bit of a break from the summer rush or the winter rush? Or do you just find at Red Rock you're busy throughout?
It does slow down this time of year. I actually like it a little bit. My servers not so much with not making as much money, but it is definitely nice where it slows down. You kind of see a lot of the locals come out besides just some of the tourism that we seem to get here in Park City. So it gives you a chance to kind of meet a few more locals, try to get them onto the bandwagon. And you know,
yeah. So Ginger, you mentioned you rolled this out 6 years ago. My mother, who's now 84, just turned 84 last week, used to come out and visit. And 1 year she came out, I think it was your first year that you were doing it. And it was wonderful because normally in a week visit, we'd go out to eat 2 or 3 times. And we happened early on to find out about this deal. We went out to lunch and or dinner every night that she was in town.
It was great.
It was so much fun. We checked out different restaurants to the point where she would call me and say, when is the dineabout? And she would plan her next year's trip. As you said, it's a great time of year to be in Park City. The leaves are beautiful. So over the 6 years, the deal has changed, but we heard what Red Rock's deal is. What in general is the range of pricing for lunches, and what in general is the range of pricing for dinners, and how many restaurants are involved?
So the range for lunch is $10 or $15, and that's a 2-course lunch. Or $20 or $40 for a 3-course dinner. We have over 24 restaurants participating. You can go to parkcityrestaurants.com and visit the Dineabout page, and you can click any price point, and you can see which restaurants are participating in that price point. So it's really easy for you to manage around and see who's offering what.
And my advice to listeners is go out there and check it out early. Check it out in the next couple of days, because I'm telling you, you're going to love it. You don't want to do it when there's only 2 days left, because you're going to say, shoot, I would have checked out these other restaurants. And is that a big part of the reason for doing it, is to get folks that maybe haven't checked out a certain restaurant to try different restaurants?
Absolutely. It's a great way to visit your old favorites or try something new, again, at an amazing price point. And I'd like to mention also that all the menus for each price point are also loaded on the website, so you can see what everybody is serving.
And you've been with the Restaurant Association for how many years?
Oh my gosh, I believe it's going on 8 years now.
So what kind of trends have you seen with the restaurants in terms of maybe their menus? Are they offering more gluten-free?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Gluten-free, vegan, all those dietary trends. I wouldn't say they're trends, but dietary things that have come up that are more important to folks are for sure being reflected on folks' menus, for sure.
And what are the new challenges that are coming up with these restaurants? You know, you're having a lot of people who like to cook at home. You have a lot of meal delivery services mm-hmm. now. How are restaurants facing those?
I would say it's interesting. We were just discussing this before we came on. The biggest challenge I think restaurants have in general in Park City is finding enough employees. Mm. I think that's the biggest challenge. I think that in Park City, we have such an amazing culinary destination that all of the restaurants are keep very front in mind that they need to keep their menus on trend and fresh to keep people coming back in. And delivery is important, so more restaurants are offering that as well.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to something you just shared about the need for employees. And what a great town for teenagers to grow up in, because you can work for best-in-class organizations, learn great work skills, and get paid a really nice salary. I have two teenage daughters. One just left for college, but the other's 15. And I was surprised at the restaurants that actively recruited my 15-year-old daughter. So if you have a teenager, boy, learning those skills, showing up on time, what it's like to work a 8-hour or 12-hour shift, those are all really good skills for kids to learn. So if you have a teenager that doesn't have a job, it's not because there's no jobs available. So encourage them to go out and do it. So the labor shortage is one issue. The first time I heard that Park City had a restaurant organization, I was surprised. and probably I should not have been, but what are the types of services that you bring to your members?
So we're obviously a member-driven organization. We try to provide resources, both keeping our members apprised of what's happening within any given legislative session, of course, trying to stay on top of all the liquor laws and how they're ever-changing, and providing resources for our members to, manage their way through all of that. We meet once a month, and at every member meeting, we give a legislative update, a city update, a county update, try to help mitigate anything that's coming up on the radar. Food trucks has been a really big topic with the recent statewide changes to food trucks and how we can mitigate those here within the city as well as within the county, and getting those two organizations to be on the same page, because we have members that are in the city and we have members that are in the county, and so just trying to manage all of that.
Well, Michael, what's your take on that? Do you guys have discussions about food trucks and lack of workers at Red Rock?
The food truck issue, especially in the Kimball Junction area with the basin there, has been kind of a hot topic. It's kind of hard for a brick-and-mortar restaurant like ourselves, who we have to pay like an astronomical amount of rent here in town, to compete with essentially a food truck who can pull up in our very own parking lot, which I know the law doesn't state that they can right now, but essentially everyone's worried about that would be the change.
Yeah, you do have to pay a ton of money in rent. You guys have a great location. I've been to your location with my family many, many times. I'm curious. Ginger was talking about some of the new trends, the gluten-free, the vegan. You guys rode a trend and are still riding a trend, which is the craft local brewery. But how are you dealing with, like, folks that are, more and more folks, including myself, are going vegan? That's a big menu change. How do you stay on top of that, and do you have offerings for gluten-free people and for vegan people?
That's a good question. We actually have quite a few offerings for gluten-free and vegan. On our menu, everything that is can be prepared as such is listed, so it shouldn't be too hard to navigate the menu and find a choice that would work for you and any dietary restrictions that you might have.
And let's go back to the liquor laws, because there's a new change with our liquor laws this year, Ginger. And that was where a restaurant that previously could allow families and minors no longer can, because they don't have the right license or they can't meet the restriction of the moat, the Zion's moat around the bar.
Or they chose not to alter their... So they had to decide on July 1st which direction they wanted to go with their licensing, and had to adhere to having a barrier from between their bar space and their dining space. And if their space didn't allow them to adhere to those guidelines, or if they simply did not want to put the financial investment into doing construction or whatnot, then they chose whichever direction they wanted to go.
And with some of the space restrictions of our restaurants, especially those in historic buildings in mm-hmm. Main Street, mm-hmm. that would have been a big cost. Are you hearing from many members about their business being affected? Are they having to say to people who normally come out here and visit them and love going there with their kids that they can't do that anymore?
I haven't heard specifically from members to date about that. I would imagine as we move into the winter season and our, you know, tried and true tourists come back and maybe there's some changes to a favorite establishment that they visited, there might be some feedback in that regard. It's going to, you know, for some establishments, it's definitely going to be a re-education for their dining guests.
I want to build on this question, the liquor laws. You know, I've lived here now 20 years, and so it just is what it is. It doesn't bother me at all. But when I had been here 3 or 4 years, I had a friend visit me from the East Coast, and actually we were, I believe, at Red Rock Brewery, and the restaurant was full. We were there for lunch, and we were there with my friend and his teenage son. And my friend said, well, can we just sit at the bar? And of course they couldn't because the teenage mm-hmm. son was there. And my friend was really upset by this. And I learned from that I kind of explained to my friends ahead of time what the liquor laws are so people aren't surprised. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of educating people ahead mm-hmm. of time. And I find when people know what to expect, they don't get upset. Is the restaurant association, are the restaurants doing anything to educate people ahead of time so they're not disappointed when they come in and find out, you know, we do things differently when it comes to liquor?
I can't say what any one restaurant might be doing to get that message out to their dining guests. But from an association standpoint, we try really hard not to get the restaurants to have their servers educate and present when a guest is in front of them. And they're trying to explain, well, you can't sit at the bar, trying to explain it in a positive way versus saying, well, welcome to Utah, you know, because that just reinforces that negative message out there. So I think it's all about how you present it. It can be challenging to guess, but if we can present it in a positive way as best we can, I know it can be frustrating. But if we are negative, it just fuels the guest experience. But I don't know if in your training or if you're doing anything beyond that on your end, Mike.
No, not typically. Most of the guests that come in that might not be fully aware of the laws here in Utah, when they actually greet the host at the front desk, the host will typically field a few questions as far as like minors and the locations that they can sit and different things like that. Every once in a while, though, we do have some upset customers, but I think kind of what you said, Ginger, just kind of like reinforce like some positive in there instead of like putting a negative spin on it. And, you know, just trying to make them feel comfortable, break a little joke, and then seat them kind of where we originally intended anyways, but then try to put it in a lighter note.
Yeah, so what's the future look like? What are you guys excited about for the coming ski season?
Well, I mean, excited about all the snow I know we're going to get, first and foremost. but I just am excited. The Restaurant Association just got back from being in New York with 5 of our chefs cooking at the James Beard House and just keeping our culinary scene on the forefront nationwide and growing that culinary scene and just keeping you know, the food movement in Park City going forward. I think we are really lucky to live in such an amazing town with so many great food offerings. So I think just keeping that momentum going forward.
And speaking of new, there are a couple of new restaurants coming out mm-hmm. to the Kimball Junction area.
Yes, yes.
Michael, you're with a restaurant, Red Rock, in Kimball Junction. How does that play into your strategy with your restaurant? Do you look at what's coming and what their menus are, and do you try to put up something that can compete with that, or do you just stick with your tried and true, what your customers like?
Well, we're always trying to upgrade our menu to add new options in to kind of make it more feasible and everything and just to kind of keep things fresh. With all the new restaurants coming in, it's really nothing new for us. When we originally set up shop there, we were just us in the movie theater. There really wasn't a whole lot around. So now there's actually quite a few restaurants, and we feel like that we've kind of mitigated the changes that's kind of kept us competitive and then also made us a locals favorite, in my opinion.
And something like a dineabout, it's sort of a rising tide lifting all boats, isn't it? You get
Absolutely.
People excited about eating out. You get mm-hmm. the locals who might not otherwise want to eat out during a busy tourist time of year to come out. Remind us again, how long does the dineabout go?
So it kicks off today and it goes till Sunday, October 14th. Again, at parkcityrestaurants.com, you can see who's participating, what price they point they're participating at, and their menu as well.
Okay, well, dine early and dine often, especially when there's a great deal like that. Our guests this morning have been Ginger Reese. She is the executive director of the Park City Restaurant Association, and Michael Goodrich, who's the front house manager at Red Rock Brewery over at Kimball Junction. Thank you both very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.